34 degrees coming up on 5:45 on the Wib Wake Up Show, Make Us Laugh Monday. No laughing matter. We've got Dr. Jason Kanz on the other end of the phone this day after Easter. I saw him 2 days ago for breakfast. Good morning.
Good morning.
How's your last 46 hours been?
It was good. I had kind of an exhausting weekend. I don't really know entirely why it was, but I think by noon yesterday I was ready to go to bed. I didn't, but it was good family time, and it was really good to see you on Saturday, and yeah, it was. I thought we had a good conversation Saturday morning. So,
Brian, who had breakfast with us, may be listening now, and in talking to him, maybe yesterday, he was just like that conversation went deeper, faster than 99% of the conversations he has. So that was, I took that as a compliment.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I think that's, and I messaged him later and just said, I always enjoy my time with you. Hmm. And, you know, I think that's one of the things about our friendship. And certainly when Ed is there, that's helpful. And when Brian is there, that's great. But to have those conversations where one can go deep, talk about meaningful things, it seems important to me. It seems really beneficial.
All right, so before we get to Colossians, and I think, what, Colossians 3:17, I want to say?
Yep.
Yeah. Certainly Easter was yesterday. You had a good Easter?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was good. It was different. We had some plans to get together with a bunch of different people. And those all kind of fell through, but John and Grace, my daughter and son-in-law, were able to come over yesterday, and we were able to spend the time with them, so that was good.
All right. Well, I've got a smoke alarm story that spilled over into this morning still. Like, it was a smoke alarm carbon monoxide detector, and it's like this beeping, and just a really small, short beep. And so, first of all, it's tracking down where in the house. Then just all sorts of problems.
Right.
It's all said and done. I got a new battery in, and it's still beeping. So that was kind of and so that's a lingering frustration for people who are trying to sleep. But also, I don't know, that will take the time. Maybe I'll do this with Drew at 6:45. But put the glaze on the ham yesterday. And the instructions actually read, well, here it goes. It says, prepare glaze 15 minutes prior to the end of cooking. Presumably, they mean cooking the ham. Then it later says, to glaze the ham, remove the ham from oven approximately 30 minutes before end of recommended cooking time. Hold it. Which one is it? Am I supposed to prepare it 15 minutes before? Or do you go with, I'm like, who wrote this? A meteorologist? Like, maybe it's going to rain, maybe it's not.
Yeah, who knows? Then you have to kind of guess and say, what would the ham want?
I went with the 30. All right, let's go to Colossians 3:17. For those who are saying they want something deeper out of us, let's go to Colossians 3:17.
Colossians 3:17 says, and whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father.
I'm just going to say up front, I believe Colossians 3:17, this is a kind of confusing to me as well, because I think 17 and 23, if memory serves, they both basically say, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. So I just kind of always wondered, why do we need that reminder 6 verses later? But I guess it gets the point across. All right, in Letters to the Beloved, your devotional commentary, you translate Colossians 3:17 this way, Beloved, do not lose sight of your new identity. Always keep my son in view. Whatever you do or think, do it in Jesus' name and by the power of the Spirit. Remember that living a life of love would be impossible if not for me. So be thankful for this remarkable gift.
Yeah, I think, you know, that for me, that doing it in Jesus' name and in the power of the Spirit, I just tend to do better if I live from that place rather than kind of trailing off into my own head. You know, I think our heads, our thoughts, our feelings are gifts to us, but really when we can filter them through really keeping in view what Jesus has called us to is really important.
But it seems like it's a place of, you know, and that's why I appreciate 2 Corinthians 12 so much, where Paul says, you know, he's pleading three times for God to remove this, and God doesn't, and whatever it is, the thorn in the flesh, and then says the memorable line that my strength is made perfect in your weakness. I mean, if what you're saying there is Colossians 3:17 in terms of, you know, in God's words, it's just my love. I mean, to whatever degree in our own strength, it's that's not what he has in mind, right?
Yeah, you know, I think the it feels paradoxical that we would be that our love would be made perfect in weakness, and that's, I think, something good for us to wrestle with. So. Mm-hmm.
All right, let's try to do this. We should have started this way, but he is risen.
He is risen indeed.
I knew you'd get it. Thank you, Jason Cans from jasoncans.com this morning. All right, birthday Bob did it again. He's got another birthday he's going to tell us about. Well, if not in voice, at least in text today. So I need to be ready, because if somebody gets their birthday in here after the birthdays, they get special treatment. Is that fair? Life isn't fair. Did you teach your kids that? April 18th, Bob says, happy milestone birthday, Faith. This is his oldest daughter. Wishing you a joy-filled day and spirit-filled year to follow. Yes, she's a wonderful young lady.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Happy birthday from all of us to you. We wish it was our birthday so we could party too. Happy birthday and all your dreams are true. We wish it was our birthday so we could party.
It's your birthday.
Happy birthday to Architect in the Chicago area. Faith Linder, happy birthday. Hope it's your best one yet. All right, buddy, Drew Fralick on the line here on a Monday from the heart of Detroit, Michigan. Good morning.
Hey, Mark. Good morning.
Belated happy Easter to you and yours.
Yes, same to you as well.
Mm-hmm. Hey, so we had the classic ham for Easter. I shared this an hour ago, but I got to tell it to you. I even sent you a picture. So I'd never put glaze on the ham, and it says prepare glaze 15 minutes prior to the end of cooking. And I presume they mean cooking the ham. However, you scroll down just a little further, and it says to glaze the ham, remove ham from oven approximately 30 minutes before the end of recommended cooking. I'm like, and then it says apply the glaze evenly. So, and bake it uncovered for 25 to 30 minutes. So doesn't that contradict itself?
Well, wait a minute. The math on, I mean, granted, I went to public school in Michigan, so I'm not that good at math. But the math on that doesn't quite check out. You're supposed to pull it out 15 minutes before you're finished cooking it, but you would have to go back in time. I'm not following. The glaze would have to exist in a different,
yes.
What is it again?
Exactly.
You would have to basically make the glaze before it's done.
I went ahead and glazed it at the 30-minute mark. But anyhow, two different things. And I said, I don't know.
You glazed it at the 30-minute mark, and then what?
It turned out fine.
But an alternate universe ceased to exist when you did that.
My line was,
like,
who wrote
Rachel
that?
Ray meets Back to the Future, basically.
Who wrote it? A meteorologist? That way you can say it might rain and it might not. So there we go. All right. So a question, though, that arose, and that is, how do you know when to correct somebody? Like, do you know them well enough? If you just meet any stranger on the street, you don't just go and correct them, right? But there's got to be, like, some relationship there. I raised this because I noticed a spelling deal, and I'm like, oh, I think his first name is spelled this way, but it birthed this question. So,
the more I think about it, I'm wondering, maybe it is easier just to correct people you don't know than it is, like, to correct people you're close to. Like, I'll give you an example. My poor wife, who, you know, we have a little baby at home. She's so sleep deprived. And yesterday was Easter Sunday, and she was preaching. And she was kind of flubbing some of her words, you know, because she's so tired all the time. And she said, she actually got one of the biblical characters wrong. She said that at one point, Judah, not Judas, but Judah betrayed Jesus for 30 coins.
Okay.
And everybody kind of, like, you know, everybody did like a double take, and that people are starting flipping through their Bibles. You know, there's like panic in the pews. And I'm like, do I say something?
Yeah.
Do I just, you know, so what I basically decided, I'm going to let it slide and just talk about it on public radio on Monday morning to a bunch of people.
Well, it's funny you say that, because I think even in broadcasting, it could be a sporting event or whatever, but if you know, if I make the mistake or somebody I'm broadcasting with does, do you just let it slide? Yeah, that is because otherwise it seems it's a little awkward, so.
Yeah, when people mispronounce something or something like that, you know, and you're like, do I correct them? Do I not?
Mm-hmm.
I had a guy one time in college who didn't realize he was talking about me, but he didn't realize that I was the person he was talking about.
Oh, no.
And so I just like let him go on, you know, and like on and on. He was talking for like 10 minutes about me. And it was really one of the most bizarre situations.
Okay.
And at the end of the conversation, I was just like, you know, I was thinking, do I say to him, like, you know, I of whom you speak am he? I was like, no, I'm just going to say, have a good night. And, you know, like, let it slide.
Wow.
So I don't know. I don't know. It's a complicated question.
Was he criticizing you?
No, he was saying great things about me.
Okay.
He was like, this is a great guy. I was like, yeah, it seems like he is a good guy.
Imagine the same scenario, though, if he was just bashing you.
Well, I'd probably be like, if he was like, oh, that Drew Freilich, such a lousy dude, I'd be like, well, he's not that bad.
Yeah,
you
right.
Hear
That's good material for another time. Drew Freilich from DrewFreilich.com, co-pastoring the Vineyard Church there in Detroit.
Hi, this is Richard Bryans from Eau Claire. Say, I heard a nice joke the other day. A kid was plowing the fields for his dad, but he couldn't quite get the road to go straight. So his dad said, son, you need to pick an object on the horizon and drive to that object. That's how you get a straight road. So the boy took off, and he's about 14, you know, so he's driving along, and his dad comes back about an hour later, and the kid's gone all over the field, and he says, son, did you pick a spot on the horizon? I did, Dad. Well, how come your roads aren't straight? Well, the cow kept moving. Happy Monday. Bye-bye.
All right, the WIB Wake-Up Show, WWIB. Great to have you aboard here on this day after Easter. Weekend recap. And I appreciate the compliments I got on the side dishes I made for Easter. Cheesy potatoes and the green bean hot dish. So
sounds delicious.
Yeah, you know, the keys on that, you crumple up the corn flakes on top with the butter, and that kind of adds to. And the green bean hot dish, got to have a lot of French onion. So anyhow, talked to my daughter Grace, who her latest travels have her in Tanzania these days.
Really?
So, nice being able to, yeah, she's from Norway to Israel to Tanzania. So where's Waldo? Where's Grace? Finished my taxes. Grateful
nice.
For the return, federal and state. Also, lots of dog walks, two each day, Saturday and Sunday. And finally, the Celtics and Nets game was an instant classic, but lo and behold, different interruptions in the final 2 minutes.
So you didn't get to see that ending?
Ultimately, and I think I kind of was rooting for the Nets. I don't know. It is hard to root for either of those teams. But the fact is, it was a classic. And you just want, as a sports fan, you just want a good game. So
yeah. Well,
and it was that.
Saturday was Easter preparation. And so I made not one, not two, but three French silk pies.
You did do that. Wow.
Yes, made the French silk pies and decided I wanted to go a little bit bigger and better for one of them. So I really love peanut butter and chocolate. And
oh, yeah.
So I decided to make peanut butter pie filling and layer that on top of one of the French silk pies. Huh. And so then you'd have the layer of French silk, of course, graham cracker crust, French silk, then peanut butter pie filling, and all homemade, of course,
wow.
And then the Cool Whip on top. So, yeah, multiple layers with that. Really, really enjoyed that, partaking some of that on Easter Sunday. And Lily joined me in the kitchen, was helping some
nice.
Of the pies, and then found a recipe for marshmallow fondant, and she's our crafty child. And so
uh-huh.
She made frozen characters out of marshmallow fondant, and then her siblings promptly ate the heads off.
Okay.
So that was fun. I had an interesting... Yeah, we won't go further into it, but an interesting outing with my youngest, with, mm-hmm. with Nora in Aldi, where, anyway, yeah, it was interesting. Daddy learned some lessons about parenting one-on-one
okay.
There, too, and a child's tendency to dart toward the doorway. And, then Easter, split between Dallas and Rice Lake, in-laws and my parents and lots of family gathered together, and it was just, I have to go back, too, to church. It as full as... as we've ever been in a long, long time. And church is not about numbers. So it's not about how many people you draw in or how many people are in the pews or the seats. But it really was nice on Easter Sunday to have an absolutely full house, so full that that had to add some more chairs. Again, it wasn't, wow, look how many people came to church today. It was just to see the people of God together and rejoicing in the resurrection was a really, really neat thing to experience yesterday.
For sure. Good stuff.
That's our weekend recap. It's a Make Us Laugh Monday. We'd love to do our best in about 20 minutes to make you laugh. But here's Richard weighing in for the second time this morning, and he made us laugh off the air. Let's see if he does the same for you.
Yeah, so this is the second one for Make 'em Laugh Monday. Again, this is Richard from Eau Claire. Say there was a local preacher, and he decided to do kind of a revival around Easter time to get some more people into his congregation. And after the revival, he brought them down to the river to be baptized. And sure enough, the town drunk kind of showed up, a little tipsy. But the preacher grabbed him, and he dunked him under the water, and he brought him, and he said, "Have you found Jesus?" And the man kind of burped a little bit and said, "No." And so the preacher baptized him again and put him under the water and kind of held him there a little while and brought him back up. And he says, "Well, man, have you found Jesus now?" And the guy kind of said, "No." So for a third time, you know, and this time, boy, he was down for 90 seconds if it was down for a minute. And the preacher brought him up and said, "My gosh, man, have you found Jesus?" And the town drunk says, "Well, no, are you sure this is where you lost him?"
Oh, man.
What did one strawberry say to the other strawberry? "If you weren't so sweet, we would not be in this jam."
Thank you so much, John Fields from Ladysmith on a Make Us Laugh Monday. The jokes are flowing freely today. We also heard from Deanna, from Owen, from her daughter Natalie. What's the wife of a hippie called? Mrs. Hippie. Mississippi, I like it. Well done, Natalie. Another one from Natalie from Owen. She says, "Why did the Easter egg hide? It was a little chicken." Well done. We also heard from Charlene from Hagen. She says, "How does Moses make his coffee? He brews it." Well done. And also want to say a thank you as well. I can't give you an official count. I can't give you an official count yet because, again, there are some promise checks for Single Mom Saturday that are still yet to come in. And Lord willing, those will come in early this week. But my unofficial tally, just trying to do some math, get caught up over the weekend, is that not only did we make our matching challenge goal of $6,750 for car repairs for these single parent families, for these single mothers, but we exceeded it by over 50%. In fact, again, if those promise checks come in, we will be well over $17,000 total with the matching challenge, with all of your gifts to bless these single mothers this Saturday. So I cannot say thank you enough for the way that you stepped up to contribute. And I'm asking you to contribute again by joining me in prayer that we would have good weather this Saturday, because there's a 70% chance of rain right now. And we do graciously have a rain venue that's been offered to us. But it just makes logistics a little bit simpler if we're able to do it as planned outdoors. And so maybe you would join with me in praying that the rain would go away and would come again another day. I don't know if you want to pray and sing song like that, but just asking that the Lord would be gracious to us one more time for this event. Again, may he get all the glory and all the honor. Thank you so much for everyone who gave. Wanted to update you on that, even though I don't have the actual official numbers yet. Over $17,000 total to bless single parent families for their vehicle repairs. Only God could do something like that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Wake up show, Make Us Laugh Monday. Boy, the listeners have a lot of jokes this day after Easter, don't they?
I kind of feel like they're going to be putting us to shame.
Yeah.
Thank you for sending those in. Maybe they knew that we were going to be a little weak on the jokes today.
Yeah, they've been pretty good.
You ever love how we make excuses before we even tell you the jokes?
Yeah. Well, here we go. All right, the first of my three. Pick Caleb, why are there Pop-Tarts but no Mom-Tarts?
I don't know. It's a question that scholars have debated.
No, I've got an answer for you. No, really.
Oh, okay.
You can show we didn't rehearse this.
Oh, yes.
The answer is...
Here, I'll cue the laugh up again.
Yes, thank you. Because of the patriarchy. There we go.
Okay. To me, that was a double joke. That was two in one.
Thank you.
How about, what do you get when you cross a joke with a rhetorical question?
What?
You got to think about that one a little bit.
There you go. Maybe it was because your joke had the laughter right away. So, you know, Caleb, I may walk around like everything's fine, but deep down, inside my shoe, my sock is sliding off.
Yes. Well, Halvo knows this. My coworkers all call me the computer. Nothing to do with my intelligence. It's just that I go to sleep if left unattended for 15 minutes.
There you go, especially if it's early afternoon. And finally, you know, we're all brave in our own way. For instance, I'm not afraid of raw cookie dough.
I'm with you there.
Yeah.
And my last one on a Make Us Laugh Monday. Dad joke for sure here. What did the shy pebble say?
What?
I wish I was a little bolder.
Yeah. There you go.
All right. All right.
Somebody that's good at making people laugh is Jim and Jane Jeffries. And Jane will be with us at 8:15 this morning talking about their new drama, Sam Shovel. It's a fundraiser for Teamwork Africa tomorrow and Wednesday night at Valleybrook Church in downtown Eau Claire. We'll learn more coming up, 8:15.
Well, we've got something kind of fun today, going back in time just a little bit.
That's right. The very talented writing team of Jim and Jane Jeffries. Perfect on a Make Us Laugh Monday, actually. And also my wife, Peggy, is on the line as well because Jim and Jane, you've come up with Sam Shovel, Private Eye, tailor-made for murder, and it's a fundraiser tomorrow and Wednesday night at Valleybrook Church for Teamwork Africa.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. It's appropriate that you play Dragnet because this is the city.
Uh-huh.
The gritty city of Eau Claire is where
yeah.
some of the worst crimes happen.
So this is original script of yours.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about this.
We do magical dinner scripts for our business, and we thought we'd branch out to jazz scripts. And I loved old-time radio on Sunday nights. I would be glued to it every Sunday, and then it went off the air. And so we thought we'd write an old-time radio script for our business. And we were thinking of ideas, and I put out on my Facebook, and Jane put out on her Facebook, you know, women, what irritates you about women's clothing? I've never, ever had a Facebook page explode like it did. Over 200 responses just on my Facebook wall. I don't know how many Jane had.
Yeah, I don't know.
But so much research for the murder mystery that I didn't really have to work that hard.
See, now, Caleb and I, our ears perk up because we're always looking for a good question, and that's one I we'll have to save for another time.
Oh, try that one.
Yeah.
Try that question.
Yeah. See how that goes.
Good luck.
So how does that fit into... to this?
Oh, well, I don't
want to give too much away, right. But the mystery is you have all these fashion designers who are being murdered.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so Sam Shovel has to discover what's going on.
Ha.
So maybe talk to us a little bit about what's the process of writing collaboratively like? Because I know sometimes if I've written something, it's, well, I want to write it my way. How does it work? What's the give and take between you two in terms of writing together?
Well, I'm just like you. I've always wanted to write Jane's way.
And there's your answer.
Jane writes the first draft, and I, not a whole draft, but she does like the first five pages. Then I come behind and I add some humor and funny it up.
Sure.
And then Jane advances it and gives me ideas, and then we just keep going back and forth. It seems to work.
It's, you kill each other's stuff because, you know, you become possessive of a joke or something that you've included, and if it isn't working, then the other person can kill your favorite joke ever in the history of the world.
And yet your marriage has survived.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's only one time that I almost slept on the couch.
And you guys, this is a fundraiser for Teamwork Africa tomorrow and Wednesday night, 7 o'clock each night at Valleybrook Church, downtown Eau Claire on Barstow Street. Why did you pick that nonprofit to benefit from this?
Well,
I didn't realize that would stump them, but yeah, go ahead.
Well, no, there's just so much behind that. We sponsor, you know, a couple of starfish kids. Lomini's the first one we ever sponsored, and this whole story actually goes back to her with... you know, she left for a while when things were in flux and ended up with a baby. And a lot of that just has to do with the fact that she's vulnerable as a young woman and this is poverty. And so, you know, what we want to do next is build a what's called Mercy House because her baby's named Mercy.
Mm. Yeah.
And so we want to build Mercy House so there's a safe dormitory place for young, vulnerable women to stay.
Yeah.
And that's a great lead into Peggy, who's on the line, the executive director of Teamwork Africa. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Peggy.
Peggy, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you. I have tears in my eyes right now because I just got to spend a little time with precious baby Mercy, and she is the most beautiful little girl in the whole world.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to our dream coming true of having a safe house for vulnerable girls. And we have the property, and we are in the process of trying to put a wall around that place before we build the house there, because it won't be safe until it's secure. And I'm really excited about this fundraising being something to be the next step in making that house a reality.
So for all the dollars then that are raised from this that are going toward Teamwork Africa, and again, it's just $10 at the door for it. Sounds like a really fun, entertaining night, right? And we didn't even mention Sue Orfield yet.
Which, oh, wow.
How did we forget that?
I don't know.
Well, that was the big topic of conversation off the air.
That's the big close. But tell us about Sue. And for those who don't know, I mean, she's top notch.
Yeah, she's top notch. I mean, to work with her, we had to get her to drop her restraining order against me because I'm a massive, massive fanboy. Oh, wow.
I saw her with Greg Gilbertson at the Heidi Center at Chippewa. Outstanding.
Yeah. And just her personality I was directing, but then she took over directing the play for a while. She goes, well, I think this mood would call for this.
And okay.
She just jumped right in. And luckily, Valley Brook has very wide aisles because we were doing a rehearsal and I couldn't help dancing while she was playing.
Yeah.
So people are encouraged to dance. But she's got that smoky, gritty saxophone.
Jazzy feel.
Perfect for this type of drama.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So she's our transition music, but she's also just doing some songs in the middle of it, too.
And we basically scheduled our play around her schedule so that we could get
her. So if you're wondering, it's a Tuesday and Wednesday night. Well, that's when Sue Orfield was available. So that's when this show is.
You build around your star, I guess.
That's right.
I understand Evelyn and Dawson Halverson are in the play, too.
I knew about Dawson. Evelyn? She's in...
Yeah,
I forgot about her. Yeah.
She's going to kill us.
It's Sam Shovel, Private Eye, Tailor Made for Murder. Peggy Halverson, again, these funds that whatever is raised to benefit Teamwork Africa for the Mercy House, just tell us just a little bit more about that.
Yeah, the Mercy House, we are in the works. We are getting our floor plan designed. We have visions of not just it being a safe house, but we also want to do some vocational training so that the girls that stay with us will have skills that when they're ready to transition to life outside the safe house, they have employable skills. And so we're looking at, you know, potentially a sewing center or a computer lab or something like that. We are developing that. I have contact with a social worker in Liberia I'm hoping that she'll work with us to help us do counseling and work with the girls to help them deal with emotional trauma. And it's a big undertaking, and we really want to do it well. And we really need your help and support. And please come and enjoy a wonderful program and great music on Tuesday and Wednesday.
Caleb, radio drama brought to the stage. Our listeners are listening via radio. How can they say no? Tomorrow night, Wednesday night, Valley Brook Church, downtown Eau Claire. 7
exactly.
O'clock.
$10 tickets and suggest a donation of $10 or more to Teamwork Africa at the door. And again, when you hear about this Mercy House, I hope people will be moved to give very generously. And my goodness, we've seen over the years how generous the Wibb family is for causes that matter. So thank you so much. Yeah. Jim and Jane, great to have you guys in this morning. And everyone goes to see not just the Halversons, but everyone who's part of this and Sue Orfield as well. You are not going to want to miss that. Again, it's at Valley Brook Church coming up April 19th and 20th.
We're both words guys, not just because we're in radio. I don't know. It just seems like we both are. And so mysteries of the English language this morning.
Yes. And I was scrolling through these and some of these sayings, these little idiosyncrasies that have come into our I guess, just common parlance. Yeah. And it's, where did that come from? The origin stories of superheroes and sayings.
See, just like that, you dropped parlance. I'm like, who said that? Great. No. I love that. No. All right, let's go.
I was going to say vernacular.
First one, by the farm. The origin, in the early days of aviation, U.S. pilots sometimes suffered fatal crashes into barns and the like. After a farmer successfully sued for damages, the pilot's life had effectively paid for the farm. Hence, by the farm.
That's where bought the farm. Raining cats and dogs. The origin of this saying in the English language, dogs and cats used to hunt on the interconnected rooftops of 16th century London, and powerful downpours would occasionally wash them into this street.
I never heard that.
Really? I'm just learning this too, friends.
That is crazy. How about this saying you've heard, just a flash in the pan? Where did that come from? Well, early guns required you to light an explosive powder called priming powder in the flat pan of the gun, which would then set off the main charge and fire ye old grape shot or whatever. If the priming burned but didn't light the main charge, it was, well, you know, a flash in the pan.
Okay. This one is intriguing to me, and I really hope this is true. Pull the wool over their eyes, or pull the wool over his eyes. You've heard of that saying. The origin of this: wealthy Britishers of the 17th and 18th centuries were fond of wearing woolen wigs. Huh. You've heard about that, powdering the wigs and such.
Uh-huh.
To punish those engaging in this practice, thugs and gangs would tug their victims' hairpieces down over their faces the more easily to relieve them of their pounds and pence.
Oh, wow.
Pull the wool over his eyes.
Oh, there you go. Hey, have you heard about a red herring? The origin of that: smoked herring, the process turns them red, were once used to train dogs to follow a scent. Escaped prisoners in the know would try to get a few and toss them around to distract their canine pursuers.
Huh. And one more here, mysteries of the English language, for what it's worth, on the Wib Wake Up Show. Bring home the bacon.
Uh-huh.
All heard that? Bringing home the bacon.
Yes.
From the greased pig catching contests at English county fairs. That's where this originates.
Ah.
From those greased pig catching contests, if you held on to the greased porker, you could take it home and eat it. Hence the phrase.
Wow.
Bringing home the bacon.
I thought it was just going to your job.
I guess. Fanciful origins for some of these. Very interesting.
Huh.
I still think pull the wool over his eyes is my
favorite.
That is
good. That is good.